at something very quickly tonight that I think could be a blessing. I'll try not to take very long with it at all. But Luke chapter 4, we find ourselves. Remember, we're trying to go chronologically with Jesus here, where he went geographically, where Jesus went. And so we're jumping back and forth. We've been in John for a little while now. But now we've gone to Matthew a little bit, and now we're in Luke. Luke chapter 4, if you would turn to Luke chapter 4. Jesus has been moving around, and he's been in Cana most recently. Remember, that was the place where he did the miracle, and now he was back, and we looked there at the noblemen that came from Capernaum. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at this, and we saw the pathway of dependability. You remember this man came, this nobleman came, and he said, Jesus, he traveled all the way to Cana from Capernaum, and it was a good little trip for him. And he gets there, and he says, could you heal my son? And God says, hey, it'll be done. And so he has faith, he takes off, he meets some servants on the way back, and they report to him, hey, your son is healed. And he says, really, what happened? You know, at what time was this? It's the same time when Jesus told him. We saw Jesus' his dependability and how he could be counted upon. And folks, if Jesus was dependable, we need to be dependable as well. We need to be people that are counted upon. When we tell people we're going to do something, we need to be there. We need to be counted upon. You know, whatever ministry are there. You know what? A lot of times people sign up for certain things and then they're not there. They don't show up. I want to tell you something. That's not right. It's not dependability. You need to be there. Jesus did it. We need to do it as well. Already talked through that, so we need to go through that. But we see there, and all right. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, and I want you to see in verse 16 now. And so Jesus makes another little trip, Luke chapter 4, and verse 16, and we see here, and he came to Nazareth. Okay, from there he was at Cana, and we don't have the map up tonight, but Cana. Was Cana to Nazareth a long journey or a short journey? Now, comparatively, I understand it would be a long journey on foot. Anybody would say that was long. But in regard to even Capernaum or coming down from the south in Judea, is this a long way or relatively short? Relatively short, okay? It's not that far. Cana is almost directly north, maybe just a little bit to the east. So if you would go southwest, you would run from Cana into Nazareth. What was significant about Nazareth? Well, this is where Mary and Joseph were when they were called to go down to Bethlehem. But also, this is where Jesus was raised most of his life. And so this was his hometown. These are the people that knew Jesus. They knew him as a youth. They knew him as the carpenter's son. And as he got older, they knew him as the carpenter. And now Jesus comes back to Nazareth. And here we see the first rejection. We know he came into his own, and his own did what? Received him not. It is very literally taken here in Nazareth. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And this is what I want you to see just very quickly. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, we're going to see what he read later, and there's a lot of significance after that, but we have a short time tonight. I just want you to see, did you notice that it says, as was his custom? Now, that's an interesting word, and that brings up a hot topic here, which we could look at and say, what is such a big deal about what Jesus did? Now, every word of God that God gives us in his word is inspired. I believe it's put there for a reason. Why did God use the word custom? He says, and as his custom was. Well, I was interested in this word, and so I looked it up and studied it. The word custom is, of course, to be accustomed to. It's basically what a person does all of the time. Did you catch that? Could I say it was a habit in his life? It's what he did. You know, we as Christians, we look at customs and tradition of people even going to church, and we really look down on that, don't we? You know, we don't go to church because it's customary. We don't do this. We don't worship God because it's customary. But I want to tell you something. Jesus did it because it was customary. But there was a whole lot more to that. Don't get me wrong. He didn't do it just because it was the custom. Okay, this is what I do every Sabbath day. No, it was something that he wanted to. He loved to do it, and it also was his custom to do it. It's what he did. It's what he did day in and day out. It's what he did every week. It was expected of him. It was expected of himself. This is what I do. You know, there's struggles, and a number of you have talked to me, and this is a problem within our churches today that we can get very, if I could say, formal. And we can do the same. You know, it's always a task of a pastor, somebody that's leading a church service to, you know, a number of you said, you know, have you ever thought about doing something different in the service to start off? Can we switch some things up a little bit? And, you know, I've thought really through that, and I've tried to do a few things a little bit. But folks, there's not a whole lot of variety of things you can just do to mix it up. Do you understand what I mean? You know what? We can start off with an announcement, and the next week we can start off with a song. But I'll tell you what, we're going to sing the same songs within reason. We're going to go to the same word. We're going to, you know, give the announcements for the church. You know, we can decide to do some gigs and some gags and some whatever else we want to. But folks, you know, I don't think that my job is to sit here and try to come up with as many ways to keep our attention and not get bored. Do you understand that? You know, it was customary for him to do the same thing every week. Now, I've got a question for you. You think about this. Because again, no offense if you've been one to come and talk to me about that, because I understand. You know what? We can get used to the same thing. And is it easy to sit there and kind of go through the motions? It is easy. Does it take work? But ought we to work at it? We ought to do it. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you customarily eating three times a day? Now, let me ask you about your eating. You know, do you men talk to your wife, you know what, this is getting really old. I would like some entertainment before my meal today. I think that we ought to start with dessert first. Now, some of you say, absolutely. Then there's some of you like me that say, no way. We got to start with the real food first. You know what? You know what? My guess is that most of you do not sit down and come up with a plan of how you are going to change up the way you eat. You know what? You do the same thing probably every time you eat. You go and you expect men, your wife, to have the food ready. You go and you sit down, and some of you men, maybe you're the cook and the wife expects you to have it ready. But you go there and you sit down, you get the plates. Yes, oh, there's a variety sometimes in the type of plates you use. Sometimes there's a variety in if you're using plastic or silverware. You know what? I hope there's a variety in the food that you're eating. But you know what? You still sit down. You still use your fork and your spoon and your plate. You still use a cup. You still hopefully pray. You still take the food with the fork and you put it to your mouth. You still chew it up and you eat it. And when you're done, do you get the hint? Okay, now, you do that, why? Because it's customary. And you expect it. And none of you get and have a fit over those same things. Maybe you do. I don't. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. You know what? I do think that sometimes to have a variety of things, you know, have some testimonies. Maybe go about the song service. Maybe sometime have a service where you're reading the scriptures like we do sometimes for the Lord's table. I do, you know, sometimes we have an afternoon service. And with all of these things, it's okay as long as it's within reason, but you got to be careful. I've talked to other pastors before. Just for your information, I've talked to other pastors brainstorming. What do you do to have a variety in your service? But I want to tell you something. If you're not in the entertainment business, if you're not in the business to try to get people here, if you're not involved in that, there's really not a lot of things you can do. Because I tell you something, when I go to church, and what we ought to do is when we go to church, we ought to have a hunger just like we have for the meat and potatoes in which we go and sit down every single meal. And I want to tell you something, that ought to be enough. It ought to be enough. It ought to be enough to where we sing those songs. It ought to be enough when we read that word. It ought to be enough when we meditate upon that word. And it ought to be enough that we say, praise the Lord, there I was. I ate my food. I ate my meal. I ate my dinner. It was customary for Jesus to go and to do what he expected in the church service. And here it was, go to the temple. It was customary. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. I will continue to do my best to try to make sure that we have a variety of things, you know, looking at missionaries and do things. And I know a number of you have talked to me about that. You know, boy, we need to do this, we need to do that. But I'm just telling you, now you heard my philosophy. And my philosophy comes from the Word of God. My philosophy comes from what Jesus did. Okay, now I know you say, well, that was him going to read in the synagogue. That wasn't regular church. Well, that's what they had then. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do in our church service. And I hope and pray that you prepare your heart and get it ready so that you can be hungry for what God's Word has to say. And if you would prepare your heart, then I guarantee if I am faithful with giving you God's Word, you will have a feast every time that you come. And you can pray for me that I prepare the food well, because it's good food. It's God's Word. And I don't have to do that, but I've got to present it to you. And you pray for me that I would do that. And I'm just trusting you that you'll take on the responsibility to make it customary that you take God's Word and let it be good to you as well. Now, the next section is to go in and see what was about this passage that he read. And it's kind of phenomenal, interesting what it was. And there's a lot of pathways and lessons for us to learn beyond this. But we're way past our time tonight, and I think it's a good time to break. So I want to encourage you to consider this, think about it, pray about it, and obey it. Second of all, be praying about Kolaklash, and let it penetrate your heart, and let's do it right. And let's look forward to seeing what God's going to do in our church this summer. Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would help us to follow you in your steps. Lord, I pray that we'd be dependable people. I pray that we would be faithful people. I pray that we would be, in a vague sense, customized people, customary people, that we would make it our custom to come to your house and to learn and hear of you. And Lord, that it would never be something that is boring or that we have a struggle with it. Lord, I pray that we would be excited to hear your word. God, we're looking forward to you, for you to do work in our lives. We're looking forward to what you're going to do through the Kolaklash. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A few